भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So reading today from the fifth canto, chapter number 7, chapter entitled The Activities of King Bharata, text number 10. Let's read the word-to-word translation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. In Pulaha Ashram is the Gandaki River, which is the best of all rivers. The Shaligram Shila, the marble pebbles, purify all those places. On each and every marble pebble, up and down, circles like navels are visible. Purport. Shaligram Shila refers to pebbles that appear like stones with circles marked up and down. These are available in the river known as the Gandaki Nadi. Wherever the waters of this river flow, the place becomes immediately sanctified. In Pulaha Ashrama is the Gandaki River, which is the best of all rivers. The Shaligram Shila, the marble pebbles, purify all those places. On each and every marble pebble, up and down, circles like navels are visible. So we are continuing the discussion on the activities of Maharaj Bharat. And we see how Maharaj Bharat, after ruling for over 10 million years, decided to renounce, just like a person leaves his tool behind after passing it. And he comes to this holy river called as Gandaki. I was just going through the folio to see how many places this Gandaki river is mentioned. And actually I was surprised to see that there were not so many places. But there's one very famous pastime associated with the Gandaki river, of course, in addition to what we see over here with Bharat Maharaj, which will be related subsequently. And that was in the life of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. This pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita begins when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is performing his South India Yatra. After traveling through various holy places, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to this place called as Srirangam, which is situated on the banks of the river Kaveri. This particular holy place is considered to be one of the biggest temples of Vishnu anywhere in the world. It is a city which has developed around this temple, and all the activities of all the people surrounding the temple is performed in relation to the temple. It was my good fortune to visit this place a few times. And I was just thinking to myself that next to Tirupati, this particular place really has devotional consciousness. Everybody around the temple is so filled with love for Vishnu that one is truly inspired. That even in the age of Kali Yuga, we can have such places where all the activities of the people are connected with the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to this temple, he first had bath in the river Kaveri. And then he approached the deity of Ranganath. And the moment Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the beautiful effulgent form of Lord Vishnu resting on Seshanag in his magnificent black form. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had manifestations of ecstasy all over his body. His hair stood on end. Tears were pouring out from his eyes. His entire body was trembling. And he was dancing like a madman, chanting, Krishna, Krishna. All the people around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately could make out that this is not an ordinary person. And everybody started dancing and singing along with the Lord. At that time, a Brahmana from the Sri Sampradaya by the name Venkata Bhatt, who happened to be there, could also see that this person was really a Mahapurush. So the moment he could get an opportunity, he came close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and fell down at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately lifted him up and embraced him and started chanting, Krishna, Krishna. Venkata Bhatt was so much filled with ecstasy just by touching the form of the Lord. And then Venkata Bhatt took the opportunity to invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house and told him, please come to our house for prasadam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the invitation. And when he came to the house of Venkata Bhatt, Venkata Bhatt washed the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and distributed the water to all his family members. Venkata Bhatt had two brothers, Prabodhananda Saraswati, who was a sannyasi in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and another brother by the name Trimala Bhatt. And he had a son whose name was Gopal Bhatt. Now at that time, Gopal Bhatt was very small. And it is surprising that in the entire Chaitanya Leela, there is no mention about Gopal Bhatt other than the mention of this particular pastime where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to the house of Venkata Bhatt and Gopal Bhatt gets his association. And the reason for this is also explained that when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was writing began the writing of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he went to all the Vaishnavas to take their blessings. And when he approached Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami told him, yes, you can have my permission on one condition, that you do not mention my name anywhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this was a manifestation of the humility of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami took the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who stayed over there in the house of Venkata Bhatt for the entire period of 4 months, which was the period of Chaturmas. And during this period, every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would relate the pastimes of the Lord. He would dance in ecstasy. And throughout the period, Venkata Bhatt was completely inundated with love for Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkata Bhatt would have several pastimes in a very joking way. Once, of course, Venkata Bhatt was a worshipper of Lakshmi Narayan because he was in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. He had an affinity for worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. And one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that somehow your worship of Lakshmi Narayan is not complete unless you worship Krishna. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, we have to understand why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because Lakshmiji, who is so close to Mahavishnu, even she is not able to get the association of Krishna. Whereas the gopis, all times, get the association of Krishna. So, Venkata Bhatt replied that actually, in my opinion, there is no difference between Narayan and Krishna. It is just that Krishna has this particular pastime to the gopis where he enjoys this mellow of conjugal ras. And other than that, I don't see that there is any difference. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that even the Nagapatnis, when they were praying to Krishna, they were saying that that woman who has the complete love and affection for Lord Narayan, she is not able to get the attention of Krishna. Even though our demonic husband, Kaliya, had the greatest good fortune of having the Lord dance on his thousands of hoods. So, the Nagapatnis were glorifying this particular position of the gopis and saying that even Lakshmiji could not have any association with Krishna. So then there was a long argument between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkata Bhat. And finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Venkata Bhat that even the Vedas personified, they had the association of Krishna because they surrendered and took the form of gopis. And once they took the form of gopis, then they were allowed to enter into the pastimes of Krishna. But Lakshmiji wanted to retain a spirit of opulence. She wanted to no doubt associate with Krishna, but at the same time, she wanted to maintain her spirit of opulence. And she was not ready to follow in the footsteps of the Shruti Ganas, the Vedas personified. And unless and until one really takes the position of gopis, it is impossible for us to be even getting to see Krishna, what to talk about having his association the way the gopis did. So then Venkata Bhat surrenders to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and tells him, yes, although I was a worshipper of Lakshmi Narayan, I realize now that it is actually by the mercy of Lakshmi Narayan that I have come to the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And it is by his mercy that I have actually come and got your association. So I consider myself very fortunate. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for this entire period of 4 months, gave the wonderful association to Venkata Bhat and his family. And at the end of 4 months, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued on his way towards the various other holy places in South India. And at that time, Gopal Bhatta Goswami wanted to accompany Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that this is a time when you should be actually looking after your parents. Your parents are getting old and they are dependent upon you. So you should look after them, and once they leave this planet, at that time you should go and meet Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan. So we see over here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he had not yet met Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, still he was giving the future to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, which itself is an indication that he is the Supreme Personality of God. Just one of the millions of indications. So he tells Gopal Bhatta that once your parents leave this planet, then you can go and take shelter of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departs. Venkata Bhat and his entire family is filled with so much of lamentation that they just fall unconscious when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departs. And these are some of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then Gopal Bhatta Goswami waits till his parents leave this planet and go back to the spiritual world. And then he departs for Vrindavan to meet Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And when he comes to Vrindavan, he meets Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And at that time, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami were preparing to communicate to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri about the various activities that they were doing in Vrindavan. So then Rupa and Sanatan Goswami also add, for the benefit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Gopal Bhatta Goswami has now come to Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he receives this message, is so pleased that he immediately sends across his personal paraphernalia, which includes his outer cloth and a piece of his kopin, along with a seat which is worshipped even today in the Radharaman temple. This he sends to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, so that Gopal Bhatta Goswami can worship this as the paraphernalia of the Lord. And the moment Gopal Bhatta Goswami receives this paraphernalia, he goes into complete ecstasy, remembering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Gopal Bhatta Goswami embarks on a pilgrimage. And it was at this time that he goes to the Gandaki River, which is somewhere in the country of Nepal. Correct? It was a very, very long walk from Vrindavan all the way to Nepal, to the banks of the Gandaki River. And in this Gandaki River, he gets a few Shaligram Shilas. He's very happy, and then he brings the Shaligram Shilas back to Vrindavan, performs a complete journey back, and then when he starts to worship Shaligram Shila, he feels himself somehow inadequate. He feels that I'm not qualified to be worshipping the Shaligram Shilas. So he decides to go back all the way back to Nepal to deposit the Shaligram Shilas once again into the Gandaki River, because the Shaligram Shilas are found only in the Gandaki River. And of course, there is a pastime as to why Shaligram is found in the Gandaki River, which we'll relate subsequently. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami thought that he should deposit the Shaligram Shilas back once again into the Gandaki River. And when he went into the Gandaki River and started depositing the stones, to his surprise, he found that the stones were jumping back at him. Whenever he put the stones into the water, the stones would be jumping back into his lap. And this happened several times, again and again and again and again. And then he realized that the Lord was definitely giving him some indication through this pastime. So then he brings this Shaligram Shilas back to Vrindavan and worships them very, very carefully. And he would carry the Shaligram Shilas always in a pouch and string it around his neck, so that the Shaligram Shilas should be always very close to him. After a few years of worshipping the Shaligram Shilas like this, he started developing a desire to be worshipping the form of the Lord. And it was at that time that a very rich businessman brought and gave to Gopal Bhatta Goswami a few articles with which he could be using to worship the deities. Some very fine cloth, some utensils. And when that gift was given to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, the desire to worship the Lord, because this cannot be used in the worship of Shaligram. You can't use a dress. You can't decorate Shaligram with a dress as well as you could do the deity of the Lord. So, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one night, made the offerings to his Shaligram Shilas and retired for the night. And the next day was Narsingha Chaturdashi. And the next day morning, when Gopal Bhatta Goswami got up and he went to wake up his Shaligram Shilas, he found to his surprise that one of the Shilas, the biggest Shila, the Damodar Shila, had manifested into a beautiful form of the Lord, the Radha Ramanji deity. So when Gopal Bhatta Goswami saw this, he was so much filled with ecstasy that he immediately went and called Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And they came over there, and then they prostrated themselves at the feet of this deity. And Rupa Goswami said that his name shall be Radha Raman. This was the devotion of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, that the Lord personally manifested before him just to fulfill his desires. And this deity is being worshipped in Vrindavan even today, practically in the same place where the Lord had personally manifested. So it's a Swayambhu Murti, personal manifestation of the Lord. And it is one of those unique temples where Vaishnavas worship Krishna in a single form. There's no Radharani by the side of Krishna. Although, of course, there is a silver crown kept next to Krishna to symbolize Radharani. The Goswamis of Radha Raman temple, even today, actually are in the parampara of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Although he was a celibate, he was a Naistika Brahmachari right till the end of his life. Because he wanted to continue the lineage of the worship of Radha Raman, he ensured that the brother of his disciple, whose name was Gopinath Pujari, this by the name Damodar Das, was made the Pujari for Radha Raman. And then Radha Raman's worship continued with the dynasty of this Damodar Das. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami continued to worship Radha Raman, but somehow in his mind he was still feeling a little bit of need to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he would think to himself that, am I right, doing the right thing by worshipping Radha Ramanji? I should be actually worshipping the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was thinking in his mind that maybe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Raman are different. So one night he had a dream. And in this dream, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came and showed him that I am none different than Radha Raman. So then Gopal Bhatta Goswami understood that Radha Raman and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are none different. And then he continued to worship Radha Ramanji right up to the end of his life. He lived for 75 years. He was born in the year 1503 and he left his body in the year 1578. And during that period, along with Rupa Goswami, he wrote so many books. In fact, he helped Rupa Goswami writing the Satsandarbhas. He composed Hari Bhakti Vilas along with Sanatan Goswami. Some of the most wonderful literature of the Goswamis was actually composed by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So he was the originator of the six theses of the Satsandarbha, which was later developed by Rupa Goswami. And then he also wrote a commentary on the Krishna Karnamrit. He also wrote the Satkriya Sava Deepika, which gives various samskaras in relation to birth, marriage, funeral ceremonies, etc. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, being one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, had this very special connection with the Gandaki River. So Gandaki River is a place where Shaligram Shilas are found. And the Padma Puran tells us about this beautiful pastime as to why the Gandaki River, it's only in the Gandaki River that Shaligram Shilas are formed. So there was this lady by the name Vrinda, who was a very great devotee of Lord Krishna. She would meditate on Lord Krishna throughout the day, Kirtaniya Sadahari, and chant his holy names at all times. Once, and it so happened that she got married to a person whose name was Jalandhar. And this Jalandhar was actually a demon. The Padma Puran explains that Jalandhar was created because once when Indra was passing by on his airplane, he happened to drop something from his airplane which fell on the lap of Lord Shiva, who was meditating. And Lord Shiva's meditation broke. And when Lord Shiva's meditation breaks, his third eye opens. He became so angry that the third eye of his opened and he looked up. And at that time, Indra realized what he had done. So he came down and then fell down at the feet of Lord Shiva. And he was saved from being burnt by Lord Shiva to ashes. So the anger which manifested in the mind of Lord Shiva had to come out. And this anger manifested in the form of this demon by the name Jalandhar. Now, although Vrinda was married to Jalandhar, still because of her chastity and her continuous chanting of the holy names, although this demon was performing all sorts of demonic activities, still he could not be harmed by anybody. So we see over here how the chastity of a woman, how the prayers of a woman for a husband protects the husband from all circumstances. So although the demigods tried their level best to conquer this Jalandhar, they could not manage. Just because throughout the day and night, she would only be meditating on protecting her husband and chanting the holy names. So then all the demigods went to Lord Vishnu, fell at the feet of Lord Vishnu and told Lord Vishnu that this Jalandhar, he's harassing us so much, we have to do something about it. So when Jalandhar was out fighting with the other demigods, Vishnu takes the form of Jalandhar and comes to the house of Vrinda. And the moment Brinda sees her husband. She thinks that Vishnu is her husband. The moment she sees him, she immediately starts attending to him. And for that short period of time, she forgets to chant the mantras, the Hare Krishna mantra. And at that time, the demigods take the opportunity and kill Jalandhar. So, Jalandhar's head comes and falls near the house of Brinda. And immediately she realizes that the person standing in front of her is not her husband. So immediately she curses Vishnu and tells him that for this offense, you shall take the form of a stone. And lo and behold, Vishnu immediately becomes a stone. And all the demigods immediately come to Brinda Devi and Brinda and tell her that please take this curse back. Please do not inflict this curse upon Vishnu. And Brinda, being a Vaishnavi, she becomes very compassionate and says, okay, I'll take this curse back. And then Vishnu gets his four-handed form once again. So Vishnu is so pleased seeing the chastity of Brinda that he gives her a benediction. He tells her that once, and immediately after that, Brinda commits sati on the funeral pyre of her husband. So before that, Lord Vishnu gives her a benediction that your body shall become, take the form of liquid, water, and you shall be known as the Gandaki River. And your hair shall be worshipped throughout as Tulasi Devi. And just in order to maintain your curse, I shall manifest in the form of the stones and come and reside in the bottom of the Gandaki River. So that is how we see that Shaligram Shilas, even today, they are found in plentiful in the Gandaki River. Srila Prabhupada, in several places, gives us very specific instructions about the worship of Shaligram Shila. He used to tell his disciples that Shaligram Shila is none other than Lord Narayan. There's no difference between Shaligram Shila and Lord Krishna. But you are not ready yet to worship Shaligram Shila in the temple. First you will worship Lord Krishna. And then at the appropriate time I shall give you the permission to worship Shaligram Shila. So even Prabhupada would very, very carefully instruct his disciples how important it is for us to worship Shaligram Shila with complete awe and reverence. With all the mantras that are related that needs to be told when we are worshipping Shaligram Shila. And actually Shaligram Shila, Srila Prabhupada says that every Brahmana in his house would be having a Shaligram Shila. And then Srila Prabhupada gave this example in one of his lectures of how in a very, very wealthy family in Kanpur, the lady of the house, the mother, would worship Shaligram Shila so affectionately. And this family had so much opulence. But the children were taught how they should be worshipping Shaligram Shila every day. So they would come and pay their obeisances to Lord Krishna and Shaligram Shila every day. And if for a particular day they did not pay obeisances, then they would be fined 10 rupees. And Krishna said this was a practice that Vedic families would follow. Every day in the morning, get up, and after you finish your duties, you come and at least pay obeisances to the deities. But nevertheless, as far as worship of Shaligram in the temple was concerned, Srila Prabhupada was very strict, and only when he could make out that the devotees had really reached to the stage where they could worship Shaligram properly, only then he would give them the permission to worship Shaligram Shila. It's also said that Shaligram Shila cannot be picked up just from the Gandaki River and worshipped. You have to be given the Shaligram Shila by a very senior devotee of the Lord. A person who has been practicing Krishna consciousness for several years and who is self-realized. If such a person gives you the Shaligram Shila, then you can worship the Shaligram Shila. Otherwise, we are not. Otherwise, it's not bona fide to take the Shaligram Shila from the Gandaki River on our own and worship it. And actually, in one sense, the worship of the Shaligram Shila is very simple. We just have to offer Tulsi Maharani to Shaligram Shila. And just with that, and one offering per day, in fact, in Radha Gopinath temple also, for Janardhan, we just do one offering. And with that, the Lord is satisfied. So although the Lord has manifested in the form of a stone, for a mundane person, it is really incomprehensible as to how a person could be worshipping a stone, and that too a black one. But devotees understand the potency of Shaligram Shila. So we see over here that the Gandaki River and the Shaligram Shilas are very closely interconnected. I just thought that I'll share with you this pastime. And actually, I could not really find anything much in this purport where I could speak about. But I just thought that I could share with you this pastime of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Vrinda. Are there any questions? Yes. Actually, Srila Prabhupada would say in his lectures that in every Brahmana's house in Bengal, there would be a Shaligram Shila worshipped. So this was very normal about 50, 60 years back. Today, that we see a situation that with the progression of Kali Yuga, that people are not able to understand what is the importance of Shaligram worship. So Brahmanas would do it because they were doing it traditionally, handed over from father to son, and whatever mantras were required to be chanted, they would chant it. But in the temple, as we can see, even today in Radha Gopinath temple, Shaligram worship is much, much more elaborate than what is done for Radha and Krishna. There are so many mantras that have to be chanted when we are giving bath to Shaligram Shila. When we are throwing tulsi leaves at the lotus feet of Shaligram Shila, there are so many mantras that needs to be chanted. And these mantras have to be chanted very, very carefully. And by people who are following the regulative principle strictly, who are chanting the holy names of the Lord sincerely. So it requires a certain level of devotional advancement in order to be able to worship Shaligram Shila. This is the standard that Srila Prabhupada has established for us. And of course, to worship Lord Krishna, because when we look at Lord Krishna, we can immediately understand that that is the form of the Lord. Whereas by looking at a stone, it's very difficult for us to comprehend with our neophyte intelligence that that can be actually the form of the Lord. So it's easier to worship Lord Krishna in his threefold bending form, playing the flute with Radharani by his side. It's so blissful to worship Lord Krishna in that form. And unless we are at a very high, elevated level of consciousness, it's very difficult for us to comprehend the position of Shaligram Shila. So that's the basic reason. And of course, the scriptures have these various rituals that need to be followed very, very carefully by advanced devotees. So that's another reason why Srila Prabhupada would wait until the devotees have reached that level of Krishna consciousness, and then he would give them the permission to worship Shaligram Shila. Would you like to add anything else, Prabhu? Gaurgopal Prabhu? Sanat Kumar Prabhu? Is that all right, Prabhu? So we'll stop here. Something more on Vrinda Devi, Bhakti Devi and Tulsi Devi. I mean, would anybody like to add something? I'm not so well prepared on this particular aspect. Would somebody like to shed some light on Prabhuji's question? He wants to know something more about Vrinda Devi, Bhakti Devi and Tulsi Devi. So if anybody is here who could shed some light on this.
As regards Bhakti Devi is a different personality altogether. And in the Padma Puran also you find a discussion between Bhakti Devi and Narad Muni. So there are two different personalities. Vrinda Devi and Bhakti Devi are two different personalities. But sometimes devotees chant Jai Vrinda Devi, Jai Bhakti Devi together. But that's not right. So they are two different personalities.
Thank you, Prabhu. Grantra. Prabhuji had a question. Can I relate something more about Vrinda Devi, Bhakti Devi and Tulasi Devi? So Gaur Gopal Prabhu clarified that actually Vrinda Devi takes a form of the holy river Gandaki, and her hair becomes Tulasi Devi. And actually there is a difference between Bhakti Devi and Tulasi Devi and Vrinda Devi. So that's what Gaur Gopal Prabhu clarified. So Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.